Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM Tivoli Talk TWS 8.4 conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Glenda Leon. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. I know it's early in some time zones and getting close to lunch in other time zones, so I just want to welcome you guys. You have myself and Mark Edwards on the phone. And today we're going to go through what's going on in 2007, what's been delivered for TWS, and what is being delivered through the end of the fourth quarter. So if you've got the foil set up, we've got what's new and, of course, TWS for 8.3, which are special program enhancements, which I'll talk about in just a few moments, as well as Tivoli Workload Scheduler, not for ZOS, but for distributed 8.4. There's a mistake on the slide itself. The next foil that you're going to see is on foil 2 is a disclaimer because some of the features have not been delivered. They're being delivered later in 4Q. And I also go through one enhancement that's going to be delivered in Q1 of 2008. So if you are handing these out to your customers on the 8.4 distributed, you can give them the information without the disclaimer. On the 8.3 ZOS SPEs, you need to give them the disclaimer because there's two features that we're going to go through that aren't generically available yet. All right, we'll go to the next foil, which is just another title foil. One of the new features, now let me explain to you why we did SPEs. We went to our TWS for Z customers. As you notice, we came out with TWS 8.3 for ZOS in December of 2006. And we went and polled our Customer Advisory Council as well as some other customers during our workshops and asked about consumability between the releases of TWS. In other words, could a Z customer put on a new release of TWS for Z every year? And the answer we got in no uncertain terms was no, that there was no way they can consume a new release every year on Z. One of the reasons that this is important is that the way that we do our support schedule. You notice that when we announce TWS 8.3 for Z, then we only support the last two versions. So what ends up happening is when those versions get out of service, the releases get out of service, we end up with support extensions. So it's actually a very good question that we need to ask our customers, and the answer was no, we can't do it, but we still want new enhancements. So what we're doing is every quarter through this year, and you'll see what we've delivered so far, is we're delivering new enhancements and new features via special program enhancements, which are basically APARs, which customers can consume very, very easily. And this should also be a kill point against our competition in that we do new feature functions in consumable format that customers can get a hold of. So let's go ahead and go through what those SPEs are. For TWS 8.3Z, we created an NT password encryption in the end-to-end component. Basically, what this means is that the TWS agents, the distributed agents that run on NT, can have the encryption done down at the local agent. The distributed product has had this encryption available for quite a while, but now we actually support the encryption for the local agent as well as for the controller itself. Let's go to the next one. Now, this feature we delivered in second quarter, and I'm going to go through a timeline of which ones got delivered when later on in the presentation. But this was probably one of the most time-consuming features we've delivered. If you take a look at TWS and hit the button again, you'll notice that all of our connections are basically being done via APPC, VTAM, or XCF or Shared DASD, except for the job scheduling console and the new web UI, and those have been IP supported. We've got a lot of large customers that are asking for non-SNA support. They're going away from SNA, so they want support via TCP/IP. So if you continue to hit the button, you'll notice that we now support TCP/IP connections across all of our engines. So the reason that this was very time-consuming is that we have a lot of large customers. We just met with a customer a couple of weeks ago that runs 450,000 jobs from one controller across two sysplexes. So that's a lot of jobs to dispatch, and we wanted to make sure that we did not diminish any of their support and the speed and capability and fallback that we had with SNA. So TCP/IP support is now available for the Z engine. Let's go to the next feature. This is a very actually unique feature to Z, and it shows how scalable our architecture is within TWS. Like I said, this one customer that we have, and this is not unique to just one customer. I've had it in multiple geos, including the U.S., where customers need to support a ton of jobs, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 jobs, and they need to submit them, but they need to submit them to multiple JES destination IDs. Now, currently in the product today, you could do that, but you would have to have scheduled a separate workstation for each of the different JES IDs that you wanted to submit to. And if you continue to hit your cursor, you will see that we're showing how it currently works today. So we've always had the capability to go to multiple destination IDs by the workstation name. Well, that means that the customers have to support the load balancing or load submission, as I would call it, themselves, saying this particular work goes to this workstation, this particular work goes to the next workstation, et cetera. What our customers have asked us is to make it much easier for them to do and allow us to manage the destination IDs ourselves. So with the virtual workstation, we allow you to define one workstation, multiple destination IDs, and we will submit those jobs to JES via round-robin effect. So this actually even plugs a hole in Workload Manager. So we allow customers then to round-robin and disperse the workload amongst their JES IDs as they like. Let's go to the next one. We've enhanced our no-error table. We now allow you to do relational operations within that no-error table, where before it was almost impossible to do them. We allow you to do new specific entries, the job name, step name, proc step name, error code, and the operator. It's now very easy to specify a range. In other words, if the condition code was okay for this particular job and this particular step and this particular proc, between condition code 4 and condition code 8, used to you had to code four separate entries. Now you can code one and say that it can go between the two. We also support the new flush error code. And to do all this, we also have a new extended status that shows up in the ready list. So this has answered some requests and requirements that we've had against the no-error table for quite a while. If you take a look at the next foil, these are the drops of the SPEs. In second Q of 2007, we did the password encryption, and we did the TCP/IP, which was a huge, huge effort for us. On Q3 of 2007, we introduced some more features in the Dynamic Workload Console, the reporting attributes, and we introduced the virtual workstation. This became generally available on October 15th. In 4Q, we will have IP version 6 support and the no-error enhancements. And then Q1 of 2008, we will support dynamical critical path. Now, what critical path does today is that at current plan time, current plan creation time, we calculate the critical path. What we do not adjust for is for the event triggers and things that are demanded into the plan. And first Q of 2008, we will also take those into effect. So a lot of features being delivered in 2007 and into 2008. Not a new release, and the reason was that the request of our customers, and they're being done via SPEs. So let's go to the next foil. Let's talk about Tivoli Workload Scheduler 8.4. The new and great thing, and it's a very, very cool thing, you guys really have to see this done, is the event management feature. Very, very powerful. Let's go to the next page. Basically, it allows us to trigger the execution of TWS jobs and job streams based upon the reception or the combination of real-time events. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that means. And on top of that, we can provide real-time user notification based upon those events. So not just schedules into TWS, but also notification back to operators, to emails, to stuff like that. We also allow, with the extended integration support with third-party products, we can also open problem tickets very easily, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, we can use events to help monitor and recover ourselves down at the agent levels. Let's go to the next foil. Now, one of the things I want to mention is that what we did is we actually took ITM version 6.1 code and actually embedded that code into the agent files on TWS themselves. So this isn't a real event monitoring solution that we're providing with TWS. So there are two different things you can take a look at. There are the events rules, which are, okay, what are the events? The correlation of the conditions, in other words, this data set needs to be there and this message needs to be in this log file so that you can say multiple events create an action. And then we've got the action based on it. The event rule can also be associated to validity time intervals. In other words, between 10 and 2 on Monday and Tuesday, look for this data set. Between 5 and 6 on Monday and Tuesday, look for this data set. So a lot of different options that customers are able to use. Also, there's a new status available with it, draft directive. So customers can actually implement this prior to the event being live. Now, one of the things I want to talk to you a little bit about that is different between our solution as opposed to any of our competitors is that we actually have a new client server app for the events themselves. So there is one place that they define all the events and the actions. This becomes very, very important. And then TWS, by the way, will submit those to the appropriate endpoints to watch for those actions. So what does this actually mean to a customer? If a customer is looking for or monitoring for a data set and he needs it across maybe 1,500 application servers, that data set name, if that changes, he has to go out to 1,500 endpoints, and change that data set name. In TWS, he changes it in one event rule, and it's populated down. One of the actions that we support are emails. That you can do an email. You can send an email to somebody. What if somebody's email address changes for the entire enterprise? With our solution, you can do it in one single location, and we'll propagate the event for them. So it's a very, very, very unique design as well as a very powerful design. So let's go to the next one. Now, these are some of the events that are shipped that shipped with 8.4. Now, since we have the underlying infrastructure of ITM, it is very easy for us as well as for a customer to create a new event and a new action. So very easy plugs into the portal. So the event types that we support today are a file event, message in a log, status of a TWS object, right, which is, you know, looking at ourselves, a generic event, and SAP events. Now, the SAP event will be supported when we come out with TWS for 8.4 for apps in 4Q of 2007. What this will allow us to do is monitor SAP jobs and processes that we do not submit, which customers have been asking for. The rules associated with the events are set, the sequence of events, the filters on the events, because there's certain things that you may want to filter on, timeouts on the events, and the correlations between the events. And then the thing that I think is really unique is the new actions. We can submit a job stream, we can do ad hoc work, we can answer a prompt, which is very cool, we can send an email, which is very, very powerful, we can send an EIF event for the TEP, and we can also write a message in a log. So think about, and what our customers have seen as we've been previewing this with them, is that, wow, this is really cool monitoring. This is things that I can go out and schedule within a monitor to look for things. So it's very, very, very powerful. Okay, let's go to the next one. Let's take a look at the new reporting feature. And by the way, we have gone all over the world doing workshops, announcing TWS 8.4, and have gotten absolutely tremendous feedback on the event features as well as the reporting features. So let's take a look at the next foil. The reporting types, now, you guys know this is done via the Tivoli Dynamic Workload Console, which is a no-charge feature that comes shipped with TWS. It is common to both TWS distributed as well as TWS Z or end-to-end. And what you will have to do is, if you have a TWS Z or end-to-end customer, the new 8.4 console was announced. You need to go out and just pull in the new console. If you pull the SPE, that we talked about before in the previous foils and pull that down for them. That'll give them the new features for the Z portion of the reporting feature. So anyway, the report types, job run history, which includes late jobs, missed deadlines, and rerun indicators, how many times a job was rerun. We have job run statistics, which includes success and error rates, minimum, maximum, and average durations, late and long durations on workstations. The workstation workload summary is something that customers are now starting to look at for capacity type planning. So we've got workload by workstation, aggregated by hour, day, you could do by minute, et cetera, whatever time frame you want to look at. We have workstation workload runtime, job run times and durations on the workstations themselves. And then, of course, your customers can create custom SQL reports, and they can use any reporting features they want to use against the data. We ship DB2 underneath the Dynamic Workload Console. It's a no-charge feature. And since it is in DB2, like I said, we support the standard SQLs for them. So very, very, very powerful reporting engine. One of the things that I would make sure and ask your customers and make sure and mention to them and stress to them is that, you know, every single customer we ask wants a different format on a report or a different a piece of data. As long as the data is in the database, we can get to that information very easily via the SQLs. So just the canned reports are not really the strength of the product. It's the SQLs that you can do against the data itself. Now, during the workshops that we've had, one of the things we asked for was, okay, what type of other information would you like to see within the events as well as the reporting features? And one of the main ones that we got was customers want to see the audit information put into the workload console for reporting. So we have that one down as a requirement because they want to be able to see who changed what and who did what. Let's go to the next page. And if you'll take a look, it's going to show you as we walk through this just kind of how the features look. So you see here where you can select report type, and these are the ones that are the canned reports. It gives us our filter criteria. If you go to the next one, then this is what it actually produces. Let's go to the next one. You can go by report type again, which is the job run statistics. It shows us our filter. And by the way, you can use filters or you don't have to use filters. Depending upon how quickly you want it to run and how much information you're trying to process is whether you want the filters or not. Go to the next one. And this one actually shows you even in a pie chart and in some graphical information, which is very nice. Let's go to the next one, which is the workstation workload summary. Shows us our filter criteria by date range or by specific dates or by relative time intervals. And then here's a example of what the report looks like. And if we go to our next one, which are the workload run times, shows us our filter criteria, of course, which is date range, specific date. And then, of course, we've got daily time intervals if we want to look at that, which is unique to this particular filter. And then this will show you an example of the report on the run times on the workstation. If we go to the next page, you'll see an example of where somebody has actually pulled this into Microsoft Project. It's an XML format, so customers can bring it into Microsoft Project. Now, one of the questions that I got from the workshops was, can we import from Project? So I've taken this back to the lab, and they're taking a look at that now, too, to see if there's any way to import from Microsoft Project into TWS itself. So if we go to the next one, the job run history, measure business compliance and SLAs, right? Did we make our SLAs on these particular jobs? The run statistics, they can do forecasting, okay, as well as look to make sure that the statistics match what their forecasts match. On the workstation workload summary, that's where a lot of our customers are looking at doing workstation capacity planning or workload planning itself. Workstation workload runtime, you can monitor and turn the workload capacity. And then, of course, as we said before, any custom SQL events they want to define themselves. to go to the next foil, you'll take a look at the projected 2007 roadmap. Of course, 8.4, G8 in third quarter. We actually G8 September the 28th, and I think the general availability and non-electronic ship was available October 15th. TWS web UI for 8.4, also Q3. If you look back in Q2 in June, we announced TWS Dynamic Workload Broker 1.2. And in 8.4 for applications is coming in Q4, probably December 17th. So we've continued to deliver this year based upon delivery objectives and investment projections that we created 2 years ago, and are still continuing to invest and deliver. So I'd like to open it up for questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question today, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. Once again, that is star 1 if you have a question. We'll pause for just a moment. And once again, that is star 1 if you have a question. And it appears we have no questions at this time.
Okay, I'd like to thank you guys for joining, and hopefully you're as excited as we are about the new feature functions, especially the events and the reporting. And please continue to give us your feedback and get this information out to your customers. Mark, would you like to say anything?
Just like to say thanks again for joining, and this stuff. Just one last thing on the point, your point, Glenda, for why we're doing SPEs on ZOS. I just want to extend that and just say all the new feature function that we've plowed into the products the last year or so, and in the coming months, it's all based on customer input. And we're validating throughout the development process with existing customers. So new customers are going to love this, too, because it's coming directly from, you know, people in the same situation. So it's all, you know, the feedback on these workshops that Glenda talked about, too, it's all very positive for this stuff. So we're in good shape with the portfolio to go in and beat just about and beat anybody in the market. So, again, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you guys. Have a good day.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation and have a great day.
Are you going to send a list?